As you're returning to your seats, I do want to say a big thank you to those that helped in making our annual picnic a success. The crowd was, I was like, man, I don't know how many people are going to show, and then come to find out we had a very good showing. And so I know that happens as a result of invitations, and I know that some people just know that it's happening because it's happened for so long, but other people were invited to come and came, and so we're thankful that that they did come, and we had plenty of food, and it seems as though everybody had a great time together, and so we thank you for that. Want to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. Received a call on the, it was a message on the answer machine here at the church. I do not know the individual that left the message, but they ask that our church would remember and pray for a man by the name of Michael Martinez. I don't know if some of you may know who that is. You may want to come talk to me after service, but I didn't recognize the voice on the message. I don't believe that the person leaving the message identified themselves. They just said that it was a family member, relative of theirs by the name of Michael Martinez, having some very serious health issues, and they asked the church to pray. And I think it's fitting that the church would do that and pray concerning this this man by the name of Michael Martinez. Also, Sister Grimm, she was not able to be there Sunday night at the picnic, and those of you that know her, you know she likes being a part of that kind of stuff, and she was not feeling well in service on Sunday morning, got worse, was not able to be there on Sunday night, and went to the doctor today, I believe it was, and has got quite a few upper respiratory infections, a lot of things going on, so we'll certainly remember her in prayer tonight. Also ask you to remember the Erickson family. Did I get that name correct, Brother White? A little 12-year-old girl by the name of Isabella was killed in an ATV accident over the weekend. And so we need to pray for the family connected to the school there where Brother White works. And so let's remember the Erickson family in prayer. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to make known to the group? You slip up your hand. Sister Rachel. All right. Sister Suna. All right, certainly. Let's pray for Ellie, certainly. Sister Robin? Yes, Bob Duffy. Not doing well at all. And yes, we do remember that. And I apologize, Sister Doris brought that to my attention on Sunday, and I neglected to mention that. So let's remember Bob Duffy is his name. Not doing well, battling cancer. And that is Sandy Diem's father, correct? And so let's remember them and the family in prayer. Sister Sue. Goodness. All right. Certainly. All right. Sister Christy. All right, certainly. Certainly, Brother Mike. All right. Yeah. Had he gotten the job, he could have been there, certainly. Certainly. All right. Yes, certainly. Yes, very true. Anybody else? Why don't we stand? Oh, Brother Bill, sorry. Yes, yes. Good. Still sounding a little stuffed up. Brother Bill was not able to stay through the party. They had to leave early because he just wasn't feeling well. And those of you around him know that he wasn't himself, and that's because he was sick. And so we're thankful that he's doing better, well enough to be here tonight, but continue to pray for him for recovery, certainly. Why don't you stand to your feet? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you with these needs, God. Lord, for the families dealing with the loss of loved one, God, for families, God, in the midst of turmoil in relationships, Lord, we know that you are the answer, God. You are the peace, God, that speaks to the heart and the mind in the midst of tragedy, Lord. You're the one that can reconcile any relationship, God, and we thank you that we have the answer to every problem, God. It is simply you, Lord, and I pray, God, that you would work, that you would move. God, we thank you for your hand of protection, God, upon those, God, your angels encamp around about those that fear you. And we thank you for that, God. We love you, God, and how you help and how you protect and how you provide, God. We pray for those that are sick in body, Lord, Sister Graham, Brother Bill, God, that you would minister unto them, God, that your healing virtue would flow right now as we pray in your name, God, to touch, to restore, God, to renew. God, we thank you, Jesus, that we can come to you, God, that we can pray and ask and intercede, Lord, for the co-worker of Sister Sue Ann and Sister Well. God, we know, Lord, that you're able to work. Use them, God, as witnesses of you, God, to speak to the heart and the life, God, to be a great spiritual force and influence in that workplace. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the reports we hear of your healing, of your help and your strength, God. We love you. We praise you. God, be a comfort to the Erickson family, God, and the loss of the little girl. God, you are there to be a peace and a help and a strength, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are continuing in our study, the value of values, in process of studying and looking into these different things. And I know some of you may say, and I thought to myself, you know, when you speak along these lines, you do a lot of, maybe negative speaking towards government, towards the world, and might I say this, and maybe this is a little disclaimer. I understand. I do love the United States of America. I do not love the way the United States of America is going. And so as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as one who holds the word of God to be supreme and the ultimate authority, it is incumbent upon me when I see this nation steering away from values and morals and principles and ethics and things that we understand are there in the word of God, well then yes, I will speak in favor of what the word of God says. Matter of fact, my Bible tells me, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And so in teaching and putting this out there, I don't want you, and I know if maybe people from the outside hearing or listening would say, man, he's very anti-government. No, what I am anti, I'm anti people who are anti-God. And so if the government is making decisions that are anti-God, well, guess what? I'm for God, and then in that case, I'm anti-government. You can't serve two masters. You have to decide. You have to make a choice. You have to go one way or the other. The Bible says no man can serve two masters. He's going to hold the one and leave the other. That's just the way it is. And I know, and some had even said, I had some family last Wednesday night, and I know nobody meant anything bad about it. Like, man, you got a little preachy last Wednesday. Here's my defense. I am, in fact, a preacher. And so, on occasion, especially about things about which I am passionate about, I do tend to get emotional. I do tend to elevate my voice. As much as I try to tell myself, you can get the point across without shouting it, sometimes I just shout it. It's just what I do. And I get a little preachy sometimes. So I guess we'll just call it treaching. So that's, you know, teaching and preaching together. So sometimes it'll be maybe in a more monotone kind of teaching voice, and then sometimes it's going to be a kind of preaching voice. But I only said that to say this. Whether it is said in a high, you know, volume, or whether it's said in a low, it needs to be said. And the delivery may not always be perfect, okay? But I do believe the principle that is in the Word of God is perfect. I believe it's right. I believe that if I don't follow the principle and I don't preach the principles and I don't teach the principles, then I am in fact wrong. I am not a true minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about what our values are, when we talk about those values that we should value, and we talk about church and why we should value the church and why we should hold the church in high regard, I do get a little passionate about it. One of the reasons is because I was raised to value the church. My mom and daddy taught me to value the church, to value what goes on in church. As a kid, if I didn't, guess what? My parents sometimes had to beat the value of the church into me. They had to make me understand the church is something that we value. What goes on in church is something that we value. What happens in this assembly, in this gathering, is something that we all should value and hold in the highest regard. When we have opportunity to come together, we have opportunity to fellowship, we have opportunity to commingle and get together and talk about these things and discuss these principles, that's something we should value. Now, as we're talking about value, I see some of you fanning. The ACs have been fixed, just so you know. We had nothing wrong with this unit, but we had a lot wrong with that unit. And so that unit was fixed to the tune of about $900, but it was fixed. And so hopefully you won't have to fan much longer. So just so you know, don't not come to church on Sunday because you're afraid it's going to be hot. It's going to be cool. Hopefully everything's going to work out. But I got off track. The value of serving. This is a value that I know we've talked about. I know we've discussed. I've talked about the theme of serving God, serving others. We've talked about serving. We've talked about being a servant. And I was contemplating this, as I was thinking, and a lot of times when I'm driving, I'll turn the radio off and I'll just meditate. Sometimes I'll pray aloud. Sometimes I'll just think and meditate on the good things of God. But as I was praying, I was thinking to myself, you know, what in my mind is the mark of true spirituality? What is the mark of? And I know people say, well, miracles and signs and what? Yeah, those things have to do with it, yes. But for me, one of the highest marks of spirituality is someone's willingness to serve. Wow, I thought I'd get a few more amens in that. Thank you, Sister D. Someone's willingness to be a servant. I believe that if you read the Word of God and you go throughout the stories, you will find that the servants, those that were willing to serve, those that were willing to do the bidding of the Lord, are the ones that really much of the Bible is about. Those individuals, and I know they served in different capacities, I get that. But if you want to look at a foundation of what it really was, a character trait in many of the individuals in the Bible that we would consider successful stories of the Bible and individuals in the Bible, it was their willingness to serve. And we, as the body of believers, we as the church, we have to put the value back in service. We have to understand the value of serving in the kingdom of God and the value of serving in this local assembly, the value of being a part of this body of believers, the value of being there for my brother and my sister, the value of being there to do what needs to get done, the value of serving. Now, I'm going to go ahead and warn you. I'm going to put you on notice. Tonight's not going to be an easy night. I let you laugh at the beginning because I know what's coming at the end. But I'm serious when I talk about if we really value the church, if we really value the church, then we should value serving in the church. We should value having responsibility. We should value having position. We should value having an occasion to be influential and be instrumental and to be essential in what happens in the church. We should value that. Let's look at a verse of scripture. Focus verses found in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Now, catch this, because this is where I want to focus. Bible talking about the end time, talking about the judgment of God, talking about separating the sheep from the goats. And Jesus saying, Come, ye blessed that are on my right hand, because when I was hungered, you gave me eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick and in prison, you came and visited me. But look at the response. The Bible says of the righteous. And the righteous, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Looking at that passage of scripture, I would say that the Bible values serving very much. Looking at that passage, and we're gonna talk about it a little bit in detail a little bit further on, but just looking at that passage would tell any just casual reader that whoever wrote this or whoever put this down valued someone's service. According to that passage and according to the tone of that text, it's what will separate the sheep from the goats. Read it. So we're going to talk about this a little bit, the value of serving others. Well, let's talk about what does it mean to serve? If you look up the word serve in the Bible in the Greek and then you do a word study, what does that word mean? Well, the Greek is diakonos, or however you say it, to be an attendant, to wait upon, to act as a host or teacher. That's what the word serve in the Bible means, to be an attendant, to wait upon, to act as a host or a teacher. We call waiters and waitresses, what do we call them? We call them servers. Why? Because they attend to us when we sit at a table for which they are responsible. Now, we understand this. They don't just do this out of the goodness of their heart. They don't just do it voluntarily. We understand they're compensated for it. And a good waiter or waitress will understand the level of their service often is indicated in the level of their tip. If someone who understands service and then someone who understands value, if someone receives good service, then that individual should. And might I just stop here and say this? If you are not a good tipper as a Christian, shame on you. I'm going to say that again. If you are not a good tipper as a Christian, shame on you. Unless it is just horrible service, and then it is, in my opinion, it's okay to do it in the right way and let that individual know there was some problems. There was something. We were in a restaurant the other night and something happened in the restaurant. And I told my wife, I said, I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to go say something. So I very politely got up and said, excuse me, I'm not one to complain, but you need to know about this. And they immediately, I didn't do it in a mean, hurtful way. I did it in a very respectful way to let them know that I was not in agreement with what happened and what took place. And they came with an explanation and told me what, here's the crux of the matter. The understanding is that there is value in service. And not just in a waiter or a waitress serving me or attending me, but there's value in what we do when we come together for what we call a church. This is crowd participation. Service. Thank you. Wasn't a trick question. We call it a church service for a reason, right? It's a service. We call our gathering a church service because here the needs of people should be attended to. Not just my needs, the needs of the people, the needs of others need to be attended to. Some people think that scripture says they that wait upon the Lord just means sitting down and waiting. No, that word means to serve. As a waiter or a waitress, to serve, to be actively serving. There's value in serving. There's value in doing for others. And the reason why we call this a church service is because we understand there is value in what happens. There's value in what goes on in the midst of this service. Because guess what? It is our hope and our prayer and our desires that when people walk in those doors and they have needs and they have desires and they have addictions and they have all these things in their life, there's some attendance that needs to be made to their needs. And a church service, properly acting as a service, is not just a place I come to get my needs met. It's a place where we gather so that other people can get their needs met. And collectively, we are served by the ultimate power and authority of the Spirit of God working in us and then through us to other people. That's why we call it a church service. That's why we need to understand when someone comes in those doors, it's as if someone is walking into a place of business. And please, please understand the analogy. I'm not saying the church is a place of business. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that it is a part of service when they walk in those doors for you and I to make every effort for them to feel comfortable, for them to feel like this is a place they should want to visit again. It's a church service. And so if somebody walks in, my prayer needs to be, God, help me some way, somehow, to minister the need of that individual, to somehow be influential and impacting in their life so they'll want to come again. Because I know this, if they keep coming, they'll keep getting. And if they keep getting, before long, they'll want to give. I got preachy, didn't I? That's why we call it a church service. Because there's value in serving. There's value in what happens here in the house of God. There's value in people coming in and feeling the power and presence of God and interacting with us and feeling what they know deep down inside. Wait a second, there's something different here. There's something new here. There's something refreshing here. And we need to make every available opportunity to serve them. To serve them. But here's the problem. And it's going to get tight in here for a little bit. There's misplaced value. There's value in serving, but we've grown accustomed to valuing service and how it benefits us in being served. Rather than finding value in our serving. We find value in how that service ministered to me, or how that message spoke to me, or how that wonderful service moved me. And that's all well and good, but at some point in time, it's got to extend beyond that. We've got to realize it's more than just me. Because if it's just about me and how my needs were met and how I was serviced in the sense of coming to church service, I've missed the big picture. I've missed what church is all about. Because at some point in time, someone felt it upon their heart and on their mind to help me and to serve me. And I quite possibly am a product of someone else's generosity and someone else who understood the value of serving and someone else who took time and effort and resource and invested in me so that I am where I am today because someone was willing to do that for me. Someone saw the value in being willing to serve. Someone saw the value and said, whatever needs to happen, I'll make it happen because the Lord in the final days is going to do some separation. And it's really going to come down to who understood the value of serving. Corporations have found more value in productivity and profit, and service has been devalued. When's the last time you've called a major corporation at their toll-free number and spoke to a live person? When's the last time you called a major corporation and didn't have to listen to it in English and probably in Spanish and then tell you all the different options you can choose with hardly any of them being the options that you want? But corporations have found more value in productivity. They don't want to pay somebody to handle the phone calls. They'd rather pay and have a one-time fee of a computer system set up which will direct the phone calls and get you to the department you're trying to get to, which for me hardly ever happens. There's a lot of commentators that have grown accustomed to calling it customer no service. Why? Because corporations don't see the value in personal service anymore. They don't have the value in being personal and making it, they're all about their stockholders. They're all about making the profit. They're all about increasing the value of the share and making more money. Why? Because they have valued themselves and how it serves them and how the corporation serves itself. And so they have devalued what it means to truly serve. When service is performed in expectation of reciprocal benefit, it is self-serving and the value is misplaced. When I'm doing what I do for how it benefits me, that's misplaced value. I'm going to say it again. When I do what I do because of how it benefits me, and we're all guilty of it, and we all do it, we all, myself included, we all find value in how it serves us or how it's going to benefit us or how it's going to make it better or easier. Or we all find value in that. But the reality is that's a misplaced value. We understand there's some value. We get that. But when are we going to turn the table and understand there's value in doing something without expectation of reciprocal benefit? There's value in serving without expectation of how that's going to serve me. Or how that's going to help me. But as a society, we have misplaced that value. You want to know one of the ways we've misplaced that value? It's supposed to be a government for the people. It's become a government for the government. Catch it? They're self-serving their own interest. I know I keep going back to it, but it's the reality of what is. We all know this. The recent Supreme Court decision about same-sex union was not voted on by the body, was not voted on by the people. 39 states denied it. Only 11 states okayed it, but yet a Supreme Court of appointed individuals, not elected individuals. What are you saying? We as a government, as a nation, have devalued serving the people. And now it's serving self. Government has, in a sense, become self-serving. It's serving its own interest. The politicians are serving their interest, not the interest of the people. Look at the tone of Matthew 5. This struck me. See if something jumps out to you. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Is there any word that jumps out? When? When? Lord, when were you hungered and we fed you? When were you thirsty and we gave you drink? When were you naked and we clothed you? When were you sick or in prison and we came and visit you? Three times the word when is used. Why? Because the things were not done in expectation of reciprocal benefit. There was no expectation of being noticed. Ooh. When? When did that happen? The righteous, the Bible says, then the righteous answered and said, when? When did this happen, Lord? When was this done? When were we serving? When were we meeting these needs? When were we doing these deeds? When were we? When? When was this happening? And it hit me. Three times the righteous ask when. The heart of a righteous servant has to be reminded because he or she just does them without expectation. The heart of the righteous has to be reminded. Why? Because serving is just something that comes naturally from the heart. Serving is just something they do because they understand the value of serving. And the value is not about expectation of their own being noticed by themselves. No, the value is just that there's value in serving. There's value in helping someone. There's value in being a part of someone else's success. There's value in that. And so when, Lord... When did we see you like this and do these things? When? Because a righteous heart has to be reminded, because they don't take notification. It always irks me when people feel obligated to remind you of when they did something for you. I thought to myself, wow, that's not really the right motive, is it? When you have to remind me? That's like a kid. Austin will come and say, hey, Dad, I remembered to clean my room. Great. You should be cleaning your room anyhow. But I know I'm dealing with human nature. I know. But that's why we have got to value serving. We have got to understand. The tone in Matthew 5 is when, Lord? It's just what we do. We just serve. We understand there's value in serving. We don't do it for reciprocal benefit. We don't do it to be noticed. We just do it because it's a part of our heart. And a righteous heart has to be reminded. I said it earlier, I'll say it again. If we really value the church, if we really value what goes on here, we really value First Apostolic Church of Sandwich, we really value the truth, we really value the gospel that can change lives, if we really value the church, if we, as we discussed last week, really value the church, excuse me, then we should place great value in serving God and serving others. And I don't mean just others in the sense of people outside the walls of the church. The Bible says you do good unto those, especially of the household of faith. Man, it got quiet in here. We really value the church. We really value what goes on here. We really value that this local assembly has an eternal effect upon hearts, minds, and lives. If we really, really value that. And it's not about what the church can do for me. It's about what I can do for the church. What's the famous line in the speech by, I believe it was John F. Kennedy? Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Amazing to me that one of the highest attendance rates at recruiting offices was September 12th, the day after 9/11. Because when those planes hit the towers and the World Trade Center came down, there was a patriotism that rose up among the constituency of the United States of America. And the next day, the recruiting offices were flooded with people wanting to sign up to serve. I said, what has to happen in the church? What has to go on before we as a people understand and rise up and say, I want to serve. I want to do everything I can to be just as involved as I can be. I know there's limitations. I understand there's age, there's health, there's other limits. I get that. I understand all those things. Time constraint. I get that. But Lord, let me value serving. Let me value doing what I can do, and not with expectation of reciprocal benefit. Not about what it can do for me or how it can make me feel, but how it can help and benefit others. And how it helps the kingdom of God. You ready? A very profound statement is coming. Notice my sarcasm. Here it is. Things happen because people do them. Things happen because people do them. The other side of that is things don't happen because people don't do them. Church services and events happen because people understand the value of serving. You ready? You ready for pastor to be pastor? You love me enough to take it? You sure? Sunday night, I understand there were some that were not able for sickness. I understand health constraints. I understand limitations. But we have more than two able-bodied men in this church. And two able-bodied men, beside myself and a bunch of young people, brought all the tables and chairs back to the church Sunday night. We were here. I finished up cleaning up stuff around the yard and the house by 11:30. I said, "Oh, Pastor, I had to go home and get to bed. I had to get up for work the next morning." So did I. I was on the job site in Naperville at 7:30 the next morning. Folks, things happen because people do them. I publicly from the pulpit said and asked the men of this church, please come see me before you leave to make sure there's not something you can do before you go. I had one. One. You know me. Rarely do I ever get up and do this housekeeping thing. But I've been praying for the last 3 days. God, help me to say it with the right spirit. Help me to get... If this church is going to grow, events don't just happen. Lights don't just shut off by themselves. Things don't happen around here unless people do them. And when we have events and when we have things going on, if you are able in your body to assist and help, I'm asking you, this is a team effort. It takes all of us being involved. It takes all of us putting our hand to the plow and saying, how can I help, Pastor? What can I do to make sure this happens? Because quite frankly, after Sunday night, I don't even know if I wanted to do it again. I know there's a lot of people, there's visitors, there are people that we were able to influence and impact their lives. But the reality is, I didn't get to spend some time with some of those people because I was doing other things. And I don't begrudge that. I have a great work ethic. I'm not trying to get accolades. I'm not trying to get you to look at me and think, well, you do such a good job, Pastor. I appreciate what you do. All I'm asking you is understand, it doesn't happen unless we all do it. Because if I'm not doing it, then somebody else has to. It's a group effort. It's all of us being involved. It's all of us saying, you know what? If there's something that I can put my hand to and make sure it happens, I'm going to make sure it happens. There's events that we have here at the church, and I can't tell you how many times. And I understand if there's time constraints, you have other obligations. But if you're able in your body and we're together, why don't you come and see somebody who's ever helping and in charge and say, hey, what can we do to help? What can we do to expedite the process? Because guess what? If you're not doing it, someone else is. Am I okay? Still love me? It takes us all working together to make it all happen, to make it all come to pass. That doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. That doesn't mean, but it does mean that we're in it together. And all the accountability and responsibility doesn't fall on just a few shoulders. We're all together making it happen and making it work smooth. So I think next year I'm going to do a sign-up sheet. And I'm going to give responsibilities. And I'm going to give jobs for people to do. And here's the thing, guys. It ain't like this is only the second time we've done it. We know what needs to happen. We know what needs to go on. We know that trash has got to be taken out. We know tables and chairs have got to be taken back to the church, from the church, back to the church. We know that. We know things are happening, and it hurt me, and it grieved my heart as a pastor when I had young people here at 10:30 at night who have never even attended this church one time, putting tables and chairs down in the basement. I knew it was going to get tight. I knew it was going to get tough in here. But I am not a good shepherd. I am not a good pastor unless I have the guts to get up in front of you and say, we're dropping the ball in some of these areas, and it's time to get off the bench and get in the game. Because coach is not happy. I love you, and I love you enough to say it. I need you. I don't want to do it by myself because I get frustrated. And when I get frustrated, I take it out on my family, and they don't deserve that. There's value in serving. There's value in making sure things get done. There's value in saying, hey, I can do that. I'm going to do it so somebody else doesn't have to. And not for some reciprocal benefit. Why? Just because I have a righteous heart that doesn't even need to be noticed. That when somebody would say, hey, you remember when you did that? No, I don't remember. You have to remind me. Why? Because my heart just says, when? I don't remember. I just serve. That's just what comes naturally to me. Why? Because I have value in serving. There's value in doing what needs to be done in the kingdom of God. And so when we have events and we have, even if it's happening in the basement, even if it's a potluck dinner, guess what? There's pots that need to be washed. There's tables and chairs that have to be set back up. There's those little corner things. There's stuff that can be done. And we all need to help one another. There's value in serving. There's value in being involved in what goes on here. Doesn't matter if I'm ever up there and people ever say my name, people ever give me accolades, people ever give me compliments. I don't do it for the reciprocal benefit. I do it because there's value in serving. You can stand to your feet. I love you enough, it's 5 till 8. I need you. I need your help. Together, we could go further and do greater things. Not a one-man show. Not a one-family show. It's a group effort. I thank you for those that are serving, for those that are doing things. There's stuff going on right now. People are serving. People understand the value in serving. People that are doing things in this local assembly, things that are going on behind the scenes. I value that. I appreciate that. There were ladies that got together, and I just asked them, and they so willingly accepted and said, we'll patty out all the hamburgers. And people came to me and said, wow, you pattied all that hamburger meat? I said, no, I did not. But some wonderful ladies in the church, I asked them and they graciously accepted. And they took the time out of their schedule and they patted all the hamburgers. How do you think they got patted? See, that's the thing. When we think about all the stuff that goes into something like that, there's a lot of work. And if I only did a little bit, that means somebody else did a lot. Catch it. Lord, help me to have the heart of a servant. You are never, in my humble opinion, you are never more spiritual than when you are willing to serve. It's a message preached a long time ago by Brother Wayne Huntley. It gave me a new revelation for a service unto God. And the title of the sermon was, The Servants See the Miracles. I don't know about you, but I want to see the miraculous take place. I want to see hearts and lives changed. I want to see people come. Be filled and thrilled, be delivered, to be healed. And it's only going to happen. And if we can't do it in a natural sense, we definitely ain't going to do it in a spiritual sense. Jesus, I thank you for the reception that I feel from this great people. God, I know I've wrestled with this all week, how to say it, Lord. I pray that my delivery was done in love. And I'm not expecting any person to come to me and say anything or make any apology. It's not about that. It's about the understanding that stuff happens because people do it. People put their hand to the plow and people make sure things happen. And Lord, we need each other. And if we all put our hand in, we all put work and effort into what goes on, it will be better for each and every one of us. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I give you glory and honor who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.